things. I noticed the light was so much softer this morning. You know, it seems like in the summer it's like sharp and crisp, and it's a little bit softer. And then also sitting there, I don't think I've smelled this before, but you could really smell the dirt. You know, like, could you smell it?
Because you're watering, I think.
Is that what was happening? Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's like, oh, where did this come from? So, this is rather spontaneous talk in that I had written out something, and then I was telling Kosan and Kosai-san about an experience that my husband and I had this past week, so I'm going to talk about it. And before I do that, though, I'm going to give you a koan, and you can just take it home and think about it. It does relate to the talk, but I'm not going to tell you how it relates. So this is something that I was just reading about animals and about how their personalities and how they relate and how they learn and things like that. And this one line said, a goat can only have a goat's brain. So that's your koan for the week. A goat can only have a goat's brain. So the experience that my husband and I had was we went to Alcatraz to see the exhibit by Ai Weiwei, who is a Chinese, I think he's categorized as a dissident, and he's an artist and lives in Japan. He was in prison for almost 3 months a few years ago without any reason. Now his passport has been taken away, so he cannot leave the country. So he is free in China, but he's not free to leave. And he has taken on a strong mantra of personal freedom and what personal freedom might mean to individuals. And his art, I don't know that it has a title. If it does, I didn't see it. But I'm going to kind of take this through stages so it sets it up a little bit better. So if you have not been to Alcatraz, then it is a former federal penitentiary as well as other things in the period of its history. But that's what it's mostly known for right now. And it is a national park. And you take the ferry out to Alcatraz, and then you can walk through the cell blocks, the dining hall, the hospital, the recreation yard. And they have an audio tour, so you can listen to that, and there's no charge for that tour. Which, by the way, if you do decide you want to do this, be sure you make reservations on the ferry to get over there. So, once you're there, then there is some walking involved, and there's also some trams, so they can take you if you have difficulty hiking the hill a little bit. And then you basically walk through these different areas of the penitentiary. And they have stories about the prisoners who have been there and the people who have tried to escape and maybe didn't escape, but they don't know what happened to them. They have stories about the families of the staff who would live on the island and the kids who would go to school in the city and come back. And among all this, then, Ai Weiwei has created an art exhibit where in one part there would be a cell block where you would go into the cells and listen to the voices that were in that particular cell. And it might be a reading from somebody in a different language with a different translation, But the it was all about the experience of isolation, of choosing something for one's personal beliefs, and then having consequences to that choice. There was music and there were songs also that you would listen to in these cell blocks. Another area had a large bird that was made out of solar panels that were, well, it was kind of a bird. I mean, that's what it was supposed to represent. But it was made out of solar panels that were brought over from Tibet, where the Tibetan people use the panels to assist in their cooking. And that was, that part was probably as big as this room, and it was like in the library area and where the inmates would be, and then it was, the guards would walk around this way with their guns, because they wouldn't go in where the inmates were with the guns. And so there was this huge exhibit of this bird type thing that in some ways was hard to see, because it would be like looking through these little panels, but they were distorted, so you could never really see the full thing. You see something and it would look different, and you know, you kind of had to bend down in order to see some of it. In another room, in the hospital room, they would have in the room itself, there would be two fixtures. One would be a bathtub, and one would be a bathtub or a sink, and the other would be a toilet. And these were white ceramic, and then he would have them filled with like ceramic flowers, you know, that so filled the bathtub or filled the sink or filled the toilet bowl with just these white porcelain type flowers that were very dainty. In another area, you would enter, and basically there was nothing there that you could make sense of, except that they had two chants going on. One was a Native American chant, and the other was a Buddhist chant. And so it would kind of alternate, and as you walk through the room, just to see what was there. And again, it would look like nothing, but then there would be the sound and these chants going on. And then in another room, it was quite a large room. I think it was the dining room, actually. He had suspended from the ceiling a large, I think it's probably painted out of silk, but it was a dragon. So the head would be in one place, and then there'd be like a disc that would be painted with different colors, and it just kind of circled through the whole room. And then on different discs, there would be certain words like abuse or power or caring, isolation, breaking, you know, it was very striking and very lovely. So that's what the exhibit, you know, kind of what you saw. The experience of this exhibit, and I say this in conjunction with the koan, that this was a little bit of what I got out of it. And if you go, keep your mind open to, you know, what you're hearing, what you're seeing, and how you're perceiving what's going on. But the kite, the dragon, for me, represented the soaring of the spirit beyond what is here, you know, in the dining room, where there was total silence. You couldn't speak, especially in the very beginning. I guess that softened over a period of time, but that people were there by the choices that they made, whether it was an inmate who was, you know, suffering consequence of some social maladaptation, whether it was somebody who was making a position, a statement about their belief for freedom. Let me go back. One other exhibit was a large room that had Lego panels on the floor, and they had made taken pictures of, I think, probably about 400 different people in the world, and I guess it was quite a long process to choose these people, but who had in some way defied authority or perceived authority. I mean, one was a woman who was married, I think she was raised a Muslim, and she married a Christian man, and that was against the social norm, and so she had like 100 lashes and was excommunicated from the from the society that she lived in. So it wasn't necessarily people that we would automatically think about, like Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela. They were demonstrated there, but there was kind of an irony in that these people who would stand up for something that they believed in so strongly would be then just kind of Legos on the floor, you know, put together. I mean, it was just quite unusual. And so anyway, going back to the kite, you know, the ability to make choices. Now, there were 5,000 people supposedly on the island that day. That's how many people they expected to come. And it wasn't crowded, you know. I mean, there was a lot of people, but it wasn't like jam-packed or anything, because people were coming and going throughout the course of the day. But there was, I think when I went, or when we went, I expected kind of a sacredness around this exhibit, you know, kind of like a quietness or reflection. And instead, it was kind of immersed in these 5,000 people. Probably most of them were there to see Alcatraz, you know, as the federal penitentiary. Some were there for the exhibit, and you know, at the very beginning, they would say how many people are here for this and how many people are there for that. And you know, there was a, you know, proportionally, there was only a handful of people there for the exhibit. But and so I was kind of disappointed. I thought, you know, oh, I wonder if the artist realized what he was setting this thing up into. And but later I thought, you know, maybe he did. Maybe he realized that these messages get lost in the choices that we all make during the day, you know, either to be busy and to be a tourist or to be distracted with these other things, or to really pay attention to this thing that's in front of you, this attitude or this strong belief or conviction or whatever it is. And how easily that can get lost in our society, how we don't see it. You know, I think of some of the work that you do, Rebecca, with the people who are incarcerated, and how many of us don't see that. And, you know, or if we do, it's just like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, they deserve it, or, you know, they did something, you know, all sorts of judgments that we're not even aware of that are there. So I don't know, you know. A goat has only a goat's brain. I don't know what he thought was this would be like, and what he intended, and what it was actually experienced, but it was definitely something to see, and it would be something that I think, you know, you would sit with and kind of brew and stew, you know, kind of let it percolate a while, because there's the initial reaction, and then there's what kind of comes out of it later. So maybe that's kind of like Zazen. You know, there's the initial experience of it, and then there's what comes out of it. So anyway, that is an exhibit well worth seeing, and it is on Alcatraz until April, so you don't have to hurry to see it. In fact, I think November and December are supposed to be lovely months in the city, so that might be a good time to go. Are there any questions about it?
The koan again, please.
The koan. A goat can only have a goat's brain.